When your ideal customer's kids are begging every night to read your book, you've won. At Dinosaur House, we turn industry leaders into kids' book authors. We don't do it because it's a super fun thing to do, although it is. We do it because it's highly strategic. Imagine if every night your customers are being asked by their kids to read a book that your company made. Talk about brand affinity. You're helping your customers connect deeply with the most important thing in their lives, their kids, over something that they are passionate about that has to do with your industry. If you want to have a conversation with us about how your brand could become the author of a kid's book, just hit us up, dinosaurhouse.com. Hit the little button that says schedule a story design call. And we'll have a jam session together on just what your company's kids book could and should be.
All right. So I am George Clancis. I am the author of Nowhere to Go. I'm a combat veteran, a coach, but more importantly, I'm a dad. And I'm just a guy trying to figure life out. It's a lot of fun being here today on the Purpose Driven Entrepreneur Show. And I'm at a place in my life where I empower others to overcome the darkest days of their lives because my words and my stories are a safe space for others to find their voice, connect their heart, and unlock their potential.
What's up, Purpose Driven Entrepreneurs? It's me, your host, Timmy Bauer, and my guest today is George Clancis. George, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on.
What's up, Timmy? Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you. And just off your intro, like there's so many things that I'm curious about, but just to give our listeners some context about you, I'd love to hear so your current business, what is it exactly that you're doing? And how do you get customers, and what is it that you sell?
Yeah, so it's all still relatively new. It's only about a year old, actually. It's still in the midst of a transition from purely a coaching business where I was just like coaching people on health and fitness because I was a strength conditioning coach for 7 years, pretty successful. Then I went through a dark time in life, divorce, and almost took my own life, and I was losing clients, losing myself, and just losing everything in the process. Then COVID hit. So a lot of things happened, and in that process is like, all right, I have a lot more to say than I've wanted to say over the last few years. There are customers and clients who trust me enough to help them with their lives. They tell me about their businesses. They tell me about their relationships. They tell me about their biggest problems. There's something definitely here. So when I was going through my dark days, I was taking a notebook while I was training others and just kind of making notes of like what people are talking about the most, what struggles they're having, and all these problems in life that people are having. So of course I was at the disposal of a gym that I was working at. And so I would just use my parameter and my boundaries. But then as I started getting closer towards the end, getting ready to go, I would tell some of my closest clients like, hey, I'm really thinking of leaving. Like, would you be interested in XYZ? And yeah, I had about 25 clients at the time, and about 7 of them said yes. Pretty good turnover ratio for myself to start on my own. Yeah. So I took 7 of them and I went out on my own, and I left the gym right before COVID, and I took them all virtually. And we originally started just pure health and fitness because that's what I was doing. And then over the course of the last year, it's kind of been a combination of health and fitness, but also personal coaching. So that's how I donned the art of tough transitions.
Yeah.
And now today, it's a 360-degree approach to helping someone really, you know, find their voice, connect their heart, and unlock their potential.
What is that business like? I've never had any desire to try to do personal coaching like that. I'm curious for you, your experience going from like health coaching to this style of coaching. What has that been like, and what is it like to try to have a business in that field?
Yeah, sure. It's actually really tough. And I know a lot of people are like, I'm a coach, I'm a personal coach. I get it. Cool. That is. But like, I legitimately am a coach. Like, I've spent over 10,000 hours on a floor coaching people daily. So it's taken a lot to get to where I am, but I also spent 10 years in the Marine Corps. So I have a lot of experience in leadership and overcoming tough times and really helping people, you know, find out where they're at and how to really unlock their potential from my own experiences. So it's actually really tough, and it goes ups and downs like everything. And with COVID, it's even more challenging, but I've stayed true to myself and what I believe in and how I help others. And it's allowed me to stay afloat during the tough times.
Yeah.
So you're an entrepreneur that you were doing the kind of business where it's very much so, like, even as a coach working at, say, a gym, very much dependent on your skill set and you getting customers, etc. You go through this incredibly difficult time in your life, and you have to go through COVID and divorce at the same time, and then out the other side, starting your own business. You have experience with the art of tough transitions, and I'm curious how you would answer for someone who is an entrepreneur going through a major tough transition in their life. What is something that you have come to understand about it that you think most people don't understand?
That entrepreneurship is exactly like life. It's not just going to come at you when you want it. It's going to take a lot of time. And what I'm learning and have learned, it's all about relationships. More than any other marketing scheme or amount of money you'll put into it, you got to learn about the people that you want to serve and be able to have that relationship with them.
Yeah. What's been your unlock for developing key relationships? For me, it's been this podcast, honestly. Like my number one way of developing awesome relationships is I just interview the kinds of people that I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I have a podcast too, but you know, what I found is it's really just when I'm able to be myself. So in a gym, like I had great skills. Like I work for Equinox, one of the top, you know, high-end gyms in the world. And then, but I also worked for a strength conditioning gym, which was one of the best in the world too, where we train professional athletes and many other different people. So I worked with a lot of high performers, and my background as a Marine allowed me to excel because I learned a lot about people building and leadership and how to guide someone from point A to B. And in that process, what allowed me to be here right now was basically just a mix of my experiences. But the truthful, there's no amount of certifications, training, schools, or anything like that that can allow you to develop a people person if you don't know really who you are. And it takes a long time to do that, I believe.
Yeah. Would you say that pre-divorce, you didn't know who you really were? Would you say that this is being a combat veteran, or how would you, yeah, how would you figure that out?
Yeah. So truthfully, I'm still figuring it out, like most of us, right? In fact, yeah. I'm going out to Death Valley in 10 days for a soul quest. So I would say pre-divorce, I was very like stoic. I had a plan A to B, which when the health, the fitness world, that's what they pay you for. They want to get results, right? Yeah. But what I didn't allow people to do was see into the heart of George, right? To allow them to see who I truly was. So when I was struggling, the seven people that came with me were the people who had their own experiences in life, were able to see that I was hurting, were able to see that I showed up every day and did my best, no matter how hard it was, even though I almost took my life, these people saw me who I was and they trusted me because I was still delivering results for them, still showing up for them. And I think now, I wrote a book about it. I tell the truth of who I am in hopes that people can see, you know, see the real me, but also that it's my experiences that make, you know, hope for others to overcome tough times. If you're an entrepreneur, yeah, you know, it's most likely you're coming up with self-sabotage, right? You're coming up with all these thoughts and beliefs of where you need to be. And so I hope that my book will allow you to see that you can give yourself permission to step into your heart, to really figure out who you are so you can unlock your potential.
I have a weird question I want to ask you. What would you say are the best things that came out of you going through divorce?
Yeah, my writing, man. It's a gift. Yeah. And I also developed a better relationship with my daughter, which is really cool. This is only five now. But I never knew I could write. You know, I had an MBA and I wrote like research-based programs and things like that from school, and maybe some articles on health and fitness, pretty easy. But when I started writing about my feelings in a journal, that opened the floodgates.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a bunch of poems on your website, and there's one that I just straight up wanted to read because I read it just before this call and I was like, oh man, this guy can write. But of course I lost the tab that I was going to read. You know what it is? It scrolls on your website. It's just actively scrolling. So it scrolls all the way to the end. I'll have to figure that out later.
Which one is it?
Okay. It was, I read the first two, like when I first opened the page. And one of them was Into the Unknown. And I forget the title of the other one. One of them you wrote in second person. So you you're describing yourself with like, he did this, he does this, he writes because he's afraid of the silence. The reason I brought it up is just because I resonated with it so much. Like when I was reading Into the Unknown, so something that I've only talked about a couple times on this podcast is I went through a really tough divorce. So it was in mostly 2019, just a really hard time of finding out that my wife didn't want to be married to me anymore, and really losing my idea, like really having to let go of ideas about who I thought I was. And also as an entrepreneur, in one sense, trying to like still make money while COVID is happening and everything. So very similar. And I used to go, I was touring at the time. So around the same time that I was going through the heat of the divorce, I was touring as a kids book author. And I would go out on these nature hikes after every school that I would visit. So I would visit a school in one city, and then I would just look for some. I was really benefiting from the fact that this tour happened in Arkansas, and Arkansas is a beautiful place to get out in nature and figure out who the heck you are. But I really related with it because of the experience of going on these long hikes through nature into silence and grappling with like big questions about, well, who am I? Because clearly these are all the things that I thought I was. And so much of that is gone now. And what's left behind? And also, what am I discovering about who I am that I just wasn't even aware of because I hadn't gone through these depths of pain? I'm curious how that translates for you.
As in far as the same experience that you had?
Yeah, like how much of that do you resonate with? And do you feel like there were parts of yourself, aside from writing, that you discovered as a result of going through that pain?
For sure. Robert Bly, you know, famous poet and men's activist, he talks about in his book, Iron John, that a lot of men will have this fall of status in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s.
Interesting.
So this is a place where, you know, we as men have gone through like this life attached to identities. Maybe it's marriage, maybe it's a high performance CEO, whatever it is. And we created this identity based off of the experiences we were taught growing up. And most of us are like to run away from shame, run away from judgment and all of these feelings in life. And that leads to a lot of false identities of what we are beneath the mask, right?
Yeah.
And so when we hit a fall of status, like a divorce or a career change or COVID, it forces us to either like go into the catabasis, which is what we often need to grow. Just like we'll use the cliche caterpillar into the cocoon, into a butterfly, or we can go the other way and keep on running until like life just forces you to fall into the catabasis. Right.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was like forced into the catabasis, like got a divorce, like, or in the middle of divorce, tried to run from it, drugs, alcohol, act like it wasn't happening because I was a Marine, like that can't affect me. Well, that was a lot. It all hit me hard until I had no choice, like literally nowhere to go, like with a gun in my head, like about to end it all. And I think I believe like God or my daughter, like the two combination, like literally saved my life. And from there, like I never touched a gun again. I called a million people, got as much help as I could because I realized like this one event couldn't break me. Like it was actually there to help me. And it sucked. It hurt like the shatter of everything. Like I had to stay in the layers of repressed hurt, stay in the layers of everything I didn't want to feel, everything I didn't want to face, all the fears. But on the other side, which I am now, is a much better human.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of like,
I love it. That's beautiful. George, I started this podcast because I wanted to have conversations with purpose-driven entrepreneurs about what it is that they're really living their life for. When you think about the big question of like, either what do I want to be known for when I die, or what is it that I'm really living for? What jumps out to you as most important?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And to be truthful, I'm still trying to figure that out. But with my book that just came out, with my relationship with my daughter, I think I'm at a point where I know that I have something more to give back, and it's not just about money anymore. Yes, I need money to survive. Like, I'm not saying like that I don't care about money, but like my whole entire life, I chased the check boxes in life, you know, hit the six figures, the beautiful careers, the MBAs, all these external things. So I'm trying to find out where my own internal worth is and how I can show up to the world as the best version of myself to help as many people as I can.
Yeah. Well, I hope, I can't wait to hear where that goes. Cause I have, for the longest time, I really struggled with the question of what is it that I'm really living my life for, and what's my purpose on this earth? And for me, the longest time it was like, well, this is just, I like to make kids books. That's my favorite sandbox to play in. And it took some real deep digging to figure out like, no, based on how I'm wired, what is it, you know, what does purpose mean for me? So I'm curious. I'm curious to hear how that goes for you. I have a few for fun questions for you that I want to ask you, George. So the first one is, I'm a kids book author. I believe that part of leaving a legacy is reaching the hearts of kids. What's a topic you would make a kids book about if you could?
That's a great one. I haven't thought about that actually. You know, me and my daughter, we play all the time, and we draw, and we're very creative. I think I would probably come up with some crazy idea about like mindfulness and meditation and learning how to like be with yourself, you know.
Are there things that you find that you're constantly trying to say to your daughter related to mindfulness that you hope she'll like latch onto? Like something that you're like, man, if she just gets this, it will help.
You know, it's hard because she's only five, but I have all these like little cartoon cards that we use, and I just pull them out. Like if I see like she's getting anxious or she's getting angry or something, I pull the card out. I'm like, hey, do you remember like the turtle or the elephant or whatever? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, do that now. She's like, oh, okay. So like, you know, I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but I'm trying. Yeah.
That's good stuff. George, I've got one last for fun question for you. What is something that you currently suck at that a year from now you want to be great at?
Oh yeah. What am I suck at? What am I not so good at? I'm still not that good with dating.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a different world probably than how long, like when was the last time you were single? Like how long were you married?
I mean, technically I've been single for a few years, but I took a whole year off. I started dating again, then I didn't date again. It's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, it is. I'm so glad I'm married again. So I'm so glad I'm not dealing with that anymore. But for me, so I was married for 7 years, almost 7 years. And like we were dating in 2011. And then I come out 2019. It's like almost 10 years have gone by. The dating landscape was completely different. Like none of the same rules existed. When I was dating the first time, it was weird if you were dating online. Like that was a little bit like, oh, are you sure about that? And now it's like, it's all online. People don't even want to meet in person.
And the dating apps are definitely geared towards women, right? They have the favor, right? That's just the way they were designed. So, you know, I've dabbled into a little everything, but I'm just taking a break right now. Let my life unfold however it wants to unfold. So
understandable. And I think good things will come your way as a result of that. George, this has been an awesome conversation. Thank you so much for being on my show. Where are you most active on social that listeners should connect with you?
Yeah, there's two of them. It's Facebook and Instagram. So Instagram, it's _George Kalantzis. And then Facebook, you can just George Kalantzis and I'm always there. But those are the two I tend to be more active, and I'm starting a little YouTube, but we'll see.
Cool. We'll have links to your website and your book in the show notes for this episode. George, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.